The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Thank you for your continued patience as I learn how to talk with this thing. You know what it's like when you get a communion wafer stuck on the roof of your mouth? Yeah, we've all been there. That's what it's like, but you can never get the communion wafer off. If Dante would have thought about that, he would have put it in, you know, his Inferno, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not used to hearing this story on a Sunday morning. I have read this particular passage from John countless times, but normally it's on a weekday at a funeral, celebrating somebody's life, as a reflection on what God has prepared. Although it's hard to imagine in detail, it's the promise that we lean into in that moment of wondering what's next. Jesus says there are many dwelling places in the house of God, and so we trust that at the end of our baptismal journey, we are received into whatever that may look like. And so, for me, it's hard to separate this particular moment from a funeral. But with everything that is going on, the idea of creating space for people has been on my mind. What does it look like to shape space for someone? And I'm thinking of it this way because every single Sunday in the Lord's Prayer we say, "On earth as it is in heaven." So the idea that Jesus teaches us is to pattern what we do here after our expectation of what heaven is. And remember, contextually, heaven was not set in a modern sense to Jesus and his audience. Very Greco-Roman understanding of heaven is what takes place with the gods right above the terrestrial world. So there is a mirroring. So we want to pray for that reality on earth, bringing about peace. So that is also being mirrored in the heavens. So when Jesus says, or when we pray, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, it's not our modern concept. but it's this mirror. Whatever goes on in the heavens is what is reflected back on earth. And in a reversal, Jesus says, act like you're in heaven right now. That's the expectation. Jumping back to John, when I hear, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, if it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. I flip that to think about how we are creating dwelling spaces here. And I mean that as a church, I mean that as a society, I mean that as a community. How are we carving out spaces for people to exist? And the hard truth of it is that we are really good at carving out spaces. And we are really good at guarding and gatekeeping those spaces. We have become very territorial as we have evolved as a species. And so this idea of preparing a dwelling space on earth as it is in heaven becomes a bit of a revolutionary idea, becomes a bit of flipping the status quo and what we see going on in the world. This last week, a lot went on in our community and in the world, and it's been that way for the last couple of months, it seems. But it seemed that how we create dwelling spaces is something that I encountered over and over again in this past week. I attended a press conference through NOAA, Nashville Organizing Around Hope, and the press conference was pleading for the mayor's office around housing and what housing looks like in the mayor's upcoming budget. And don't worry, Janine and I have talked about this before, worship, so we're good. And the idea of how a city creates space for people and how the dynamic changes of Nashville have created space for some and displaced others, and how in a rapidly evolving world we balance that, we reconcile it, and we make it a place where justice is allowed to be done. And not justice in the sense of sending somebody into a place we have created for punishment, but justice that everybody has a fair shake, that there is equity, that there is an equal distribution of the resources. And I was very happy after watching the mayor's press conference on Wednesday that there was a step in that direction, that those in the room helping to craft that budget had an eye on housing. Now, there are arguments about how much it is and what's it going to go for, and that's happening. But what I see is a commitment to saying, this is what we are hearing in our city, and this is what we're are willing to do to create space. And so as I'm standing there, I'm thinking, in my Father's house are many dwelling spaces. In the city of Nashville, there are many dwelling spaces, and we are called to help shape that. One of the ways that we have shaped housing in Nashville is our long commitment to Inspiritus. It is building a building in one of the spots in Nashville where the price per acre is the highest. There is no way a housing development could have bought that land in Germantown had it not been for a church recognizing that its resurrection looked like housing. And so, as the church closed, it invested making spaces for other people. And we don't always see that, but we have had a long relationship in funding and supporting and making that happen. And so part of me wants to say thank you for that long commitment from this congregation. And it happens a lot of times behind the scene. But what we do here matters. It helps to shape space. In Sunday school right now, we're about to start reading The Kingdom of the Poor, which is a reflection, a memoir from Charlie Strobel, who started Room in the Inn, a legacy of making space, dwelling places in Nashville. We talked about the relationship that First Lutheran has had in making space in our building for folks to come in during the wintertime when it gets cold. The legacy of that and how it's rippled and changed so many lives. I've had conversations here recently with others about what's the opposite side of that spectrum. What do we do when it gets really hot? Thank God the library is back open, because that is a huge refuge and oasis for folks when it gets really hot. But what would it look like for the downtown churches to pair together and say, we have space for you when it's ridiculously hot outside? That you can come out of the sun and get a drink of water and cool down. What does that look like? And right now, I don't quite know, because there are a lot of moving pieces that go into making something like that happen. You've got to have space, you've got to have volunteers, you've got to have commitment, there's got to be safety built into it. But I wonder, as on earth as it is in heaven, how we can create space for folks to be. I was on a call yesterday with the African-American clergy from across the state of Tennessee around the redistricting that is about to happen in a special session this week. And that conversation was all about space and who has access to resources. And it's a very complex legal issue that has been building for years in a system that was never really just. But by gutting the Voting Rights Act, Article 2, in the decision by a Supreme Court, is paving the way for spaces to literally be demolished that had existed. And that's what's happening on the ground. People who claim to follow this Jesus that invites us to create space, actively destroying spaces for the most marginalized in our communities. And for me, that's hard to reconcile. And it absolutely comes off as very political from the pulpit. But that's been an excuse for far too long by some mainline churches to say there are hurting people out here that Jesus absolutely cares about, and we remain silent in here because we've erected walls and this space is somehow protected. Not. The decisions that happen at that state house have an impact on what happens here, which is why I'm up there so often, because the things that don't make the news have everything to do with how we do ministry here, how people are trying to control what we are allowed to do with our own resources. And it often happens in silence. It often happens away in a space that seems so far and distant and untouchable, and yet has a dire consequence for what we do. So I invite you into a place of imagination, imagining space, imagining this space. This space has been here for almost 75 years, this building. It's hung together. Needs some work, of course. This space has built up energy and so much positive good, but we are nowhere near done with this place. Part of the process of monetizing this most valuable asset is about dreaming what this space could be, not giving up on this space and selling and moving, but about digging in here and saying, we as First Lutheran are committed to creating space in downtown for the work of our mission and ministry. And as that process is going on, the invitation is to imagine this space and downstairs and all the way down the hall and upstairs in the classrooms. And how can this space be alive? Not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. It's happening. We've got a lot of folks that actually use this building on a regular basis. And I am eternally grateful for the permission from y'all that we are allowed to do that. But it's time to dream. If we're going to stay in this place, we might as well work with it. So over the coming months, we're going to ask folks to dream a little bit, not a little bit, a big. Dream big about how we can shape this space as a place of welcoming that echoes what Jesus calls us to do on earth as it is in heaven. Is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to be all-encompassing, everything for everybody? No. Will it be salvation? Absolutely. Will it matter for somebody? Every single day these doors are open. Imagine space in your neighborhood. And if you read my Mustard Street article on Thursday, there's a hint to what I'm about to say. Plant pollinators. That's a hard word for me to say right now. Plant flowers that pollinate. Invite the bees and the butterflies and the bugs in. We do a good job of creating spaces but for humans to relax in, but the reality is we share space with so many other creatures that get pushed aside for the sake of a well-kept lawn. If you want fireflies in July, you gotta not cut the grass right now. That's just how it is. And every HOA president in Nashville just had the hairs on the back of their neck stand up. Coming for you. Plant perennials, milkweed, coneflowers. Invite the butterflies in. Give them some food, give them some space. And I reflected that in the chaos of the world at Luther's time, 500 years ago, somebody asked him, what would you do if you knew the world was going to end? And he says that if I knew the world was going to fall apart, I would still plant my apple tree, dreaming about creating space, knowing that in that metaphor, he would never eat the fruit off that apple tree, that he was planting it for somebody else. And I think about that with our relationship with creation, the things that we plant, the choices that we make with, you know, the little bit of land that we got matter. And so if I knew the world was ending tomorrow, I would still be in that flower bed planting milkweed. I don't need milkweed for anything, but something else does. That's the power of the prayer that Jesus teaches us and how it connects across his ministry. On earth as it is in heaven. Well, if in heaven there are many dwelling spaces that God has imagined and God has prepared for all of us, then that empowers us to be very creative with how we create and use our space right here, right now. And so that's the challenge. How do we use this space? How do you use homes, neighborhoods? How do we teach each other to cultivate spaces where all people are welcome, and there's always a seat at the table? Amen.